RV Family Travel Atlas is brought to you by Jayco. Since 1968, Jayco has been providing a way for generations of families to create lasting memories. For more information, visit your local Jayco dealer or head on over to jayco.com.
And by the Thetford Corporation. The industry expert and innovation leader, Thetford has made RV travel a more pleasant experience for over 50 years. To see a complete lineup of products, visit Thetford.com.
And by Cabela's. Cabela's has everything you need to get your family into the great outdoors. Visit Cabela's.com and make sure your next camping trip is one for the record books.
And by Camp Casual. Family owned and operated since 2014, Camp Casual is committed to bringing retro-inspired dishware and vintage home goods to the camping and RVing community. Visit CampCasual.com to see what fun products you can add to liven up your campsite, your RV, and your home.
Hi, everyone. Welcome to this week's episode of RV Family Travel Atlas. I'm Stephanie.
And I'm Jeremy.
And we write about RV and family travel with our three boys, Theo, Max, and Wes, and also sweet Maggie the camping dog.
You can read about our adventures at RVFTA.com, and you can follow us on Facebook, Twitter, Pinterest, and Instagram.
On this week's episode of RV Family Travel Atlas, we are getting all warm and toasty, beverage style. It's been a while since we talked about camp coffee and all the various tools Jeremy uses to stay caffeinated at the campground.
Plus, Stephanie wants to weigh in on those other warm beverages that help you stay cozy when the temperatures plummet at the campground. These are adult only. Sorry, kiddos.
You might think that a warm campground drink just means making some cowboy coffee over the campfire. We know it takes a little bit more effort to warm us up on the inside. You are listening to episode number 203, Camp Coffee and Warm Spirits.
Before we head into this week's featured topic, Camp Coffee and Warm Spirits, it's time for another intro segment on what's cooking with RVFTA. And before we dive into a really, probably like our best segment yet on this new season, it's time for a sponsored message from our friends at Cabela's.
All right, everybody. Cabela's has everything your family needs to get you into the great outdoors and camp in comfort. And they also have fun in-store events. These go on throughout the year, and it's always great to check in if you have a local Bass Pro or Cabela's store and see what's going on nearby.
This weekend, October 20th and 21st, and then the 26th through the 31st.
You've got Halloween activities there at the Cabela's stores, okay? And there's lots of good stuff you can do. You get free 4x6 photos with the Peanuts gang. There's free crafts, pumpkin toss games, costume parade, cookie decorating, and trick-or-treating. Of course,
it's Halloween. Sounds like a good time. I would really like to go to Bass Pro Shops this weekend.
You can go online to either BassPro.com or Cabela's.com, and you can see all the details about the store that's near you. And also, while you're there at those stores, we're kind of sharing our very favorite Cabela's gear that we've used and loved over the last few years. And this week, we want to talk about the Polar Cap Equalizer coolers, which have become an absolute staple on all of our camping trips now.
They were a staple on our trip last weekend when I forgot to turn the fridge on the night before and get it nice and cold.
Yeah, that was a real rookie move. I couldn't even believe it. We were like, oh, the refrigerator's not on.
She literally looked at me shaking my head on Friday like, rookie move.
But
I was like, I'm going to go buy a bag of ice, throw it in the Polar Cap. We're good to go.
Absolutely. And we did. All right. So the Polar Cap Equalizer coolers, they have proven ice retention for up to 12 days. They're bear resistant. We don't really take them out into the middle of nowhere and test them, but we have taken them to the beach and tested them, and they've held up quite well. We love ours. We've been going on 2 years of using these, so we love them.
This summer, the thing was like, fill it up with ice, fill it up with seltzers, keep it right under the RV in the shade, and we had cold drinks for like an entire week's vacation.
Yeah, we're big on the cold drinks and the cooler. So we'll link to the ones that we have in the show notes, but you can also go over to Cabela's.com and check out their full line of affordable outdoor gear.
And you can get one that's like right for a day trip. You could get one that's right for a whole week of camping. They have a variety of sizes.
All right. Now let's go into our food segment, right? This season, our first segment of every show, we're doing what's cooking with RVFTA. So far, I've shared my white chicken chili recipe, which is just nothing like extraordinary and unique. It's just a staple, and it's been a staple in our family for years, decades actually. So I felt like sharing that to kind of kick it off. And then last week we shared Jeremy's French toast recipe, which also got tons of buzz.
And Stephanie just put massive air quotes around the word recipe.
Yeah, there was a lot of splashes
now, and Stephanie shakes. Has got some of her favorite pie iron recipes today. I'll come back with a recipe next week. We'll alternate for a few more weeks, but we can drop the big news now that for the second half of the season, for 6 episodes in a row, we are going to be sharing brand new recipes from Kate Dunbar's cookbook that she is publishing with RVFTA. We are beyond excited. This is going to be the greatest campground RV cookbook of all time.
It's amazing. I've been working on the cookbook now for weeks, and I have to tell you that it's amazing. I haven't gained a lot of weight in that time period because you'll just want to make and eat every single recipe in this cookbook. Kate has just done an amazing job. Like, to die for recipes. She also did amazing pictures for all the recipes. We're working on putting it all together in a beautiful ebook. It's really coming together great. But
the pages looked gorgeous.
Yeah.
Stephanie showed me pages last night, and Stephanie has been working every night. Told me, no, Kate worked like crazy all
right,
summer.
Kate did her
work. Then Kate sent us like these, dropped us these secret files by helicopter over our house. She literally dropped some hard drives. And now Stephanie's been doing her part here and just putting it together, making the layout look really beautiful. This is going to be such a sensation, and I'm really, really excited about this and about cooking out of this cookbook.
Yeah, so in just a few short weeks, that will come out to the general population, so stay tuned. We'll be announcing it. We'll have lots of really cool, like, opening specials and everything for all of our people.
Meaning
to get really great deals.
Special pricing for our podcast listeners. Before we go kind of worldwide with this thing on Amazon and all those other places you can buy ebooks, we're going to drop it at a special price just for you guys, but you got to stay tuned and listen to the instructions on how and when that is going to happen, because it'll be for a limited window of time.
All right, so before we get into Kate's fabulous recipes, we're going to share some more of our own in the next couple of weeks. And this week I wanted to just kind of drop in sort of our family favorite pie iron recipes. And again, it's loose quotes for recipes because we're doing things that are just sort of for us, really loosey goosey campground staples, not super fussy, very simple. And I love pie iron recipes for that Friday night arrival because the kids always want to light the campfire right away. They kind of want to get into the camping spirit. And this is a way that you can kind of make dinner, but as a group, you know, you don't have a bunch of kids, hungry kids that are staring at you and like, what are you going to feed me? When's it coming? So I love this for a Friday night, easy way to kind of have fun at the campground.
And then sometimes when we do like a week's vacation too, you'll do this for lunch, which I really enjoy as well. So the first one I think is probably the one we have done the most often, maybe basically because it's the easiest one.
I think it's the kids' favorite.
It's the most favorite, requested. Yeah. Let's call it most requested. Pie iron pizza. How do you do it? And by the way, we use the Toastite. All right, we love the Toastites. Those are aluminum. Some people do love the cast iron, a little bit more heavy duty.
I think they're too heavy. I think my dainty wrists to get, you know, sore using the cast iron pie irons. But I also think that it's hard for the kids to manage. They do tend to be bigger and bulkier. So I do love the aluminum. And I think that if you season them correctly and then you grease them, that they work just as well, like as a non-stick surface as do the cast irons.
And just talking some Pam or some canola spray or whatever beforehand. And the other main tip I would give you on this is when you close the sandwich before cooking it, you do need to cut off all the extra bread around the edges and kind of smooth that out for it to really work well and then open up nicely.
All right. So the first one is that pie iron pizza. All I do is do 2 slices of wheat bread. And I actually found that wheat bread, ironically enough, kind of gives it a little more of like a nutty, heavy duty flavor. Like it just gives it a little more kick to it. And the boys have always liked the wheat bread, which is kind of nice because you're throwing in wheat bread into a pizza, which, you know, kind of is not normally present for a pizza dinner. Then I just put a little marinara, shredded mozzarella, and of course, buy the pre-shredded kind for the campground. Go easy on yourself. Take those little shortcuts along with my bagged salad. That's another campground shortcut. I never buy bagged salad at home. I always do for the campground. And then also we can put in some sliced pepperoni. Real simple. You close up the pie iron, toast it for a few minutes on either side, and these are delish.
And the kids love them. And one thing I think I've realized is that it gets them involved in preparing and cooking the food. You've done a great job of having the boys help you set up the sandwiches and then also letting them hold hold them over the fire. They really enjoy it.
All right. So number two, I call these ham sammies. So we like these with rye bread. And I particularly like, if you know out there, there's that Pepperidge Farm rye pumpernickel swirl
so
bread.
Good.
That's the best for these. Okay. So if you can get your hands on that, that's the best.
it's best for the next one too.
It's good for a lot of them. So you've got the deli ham, sliced provolone cheese, and then a nice honey mustard sauce. And you can buy honey mustard sauce, but I'll be honest, it's so easy to make. It takes 3 seconds to mix it. And I personally think it tastes a lot better. I've never found a prepared honey mustard sauce that didn't, I don't know, have now, a little bit of a taste to it that
well,
I like.
A little, almost like a sliminess or something.
Know. Like I don't it really feels like it.
It always feels like fast food honey mustard.
Yeah, well, but that's better. Like if you could save the honey mustard from, say, Chick-fil-A or
but
something.
I like whipping it up ourselves more than even getting the pre-made.
I just do a quick little
mix. After all, it's honey.
It's honey and mustard, and we always have both of those staples because Wesley eats honey sandwiches on a regular basis, so we always have them.
What kid doesn't eat peanut butter?
Wesley doesn't. He likes a honey sandwich.
For the turkey Reubens, I'd also say go with that same Pepperidge Farms pumpernickel bread, right?
The Pepperidge Farm, it's a swirl.
Oh, I know.
Swirl.
The two. Okay. There's the pumpernickel bread and
the rye. So they do the swirl of the rye and the pumpernickel. So that's good for both of these. But if you can't find the swirl, you can use the pumpernickel for the turkey Reubens, and that'll really kind of take it to the next level.
And we like to pile on the deli turkey, the sauerkraut, the sliced Swiss cheese, and of course, Thousand Island dressing.
You have to have the Thousand Island dressing in there, so just buy it. You probably won't use the whole bottle because who uses Thousand Island dressing for anything else except the taco salad recipe that we got on our website from our tailgating episode. So that's an even better idea. Make these on Friday night and then use the rest of the Thousand Island dressing for that yummy taco salad, which was delish. I made it after that tailgating episode a couple times.
You just made me think of another great point. There's no reason why you couldn't make the sandwiches Thursday night, show up at the campground, pull the sandwiches out of the cooler, slap them in the pie iron and make them and save that step, right?
I don't know. I get slimy sandwich syndrome.
Slimy sandwich syndrome. SSS.
Everybody says, oh, I can't believe you make the kids lunches in the morning. Like, I just
I know what you mean, though.
Always had a thing about making it the night before.
I never realized there was such a thing as slimy sandwich syndrome. If I make myself like a turkey sandwich the night before for work, it doesn't taste as good.
No, I can't do it.
So you just ruined that for me. Thank you.
Some people seem to not be so sensitive to that, but
listen,
it's not for me.
On the turkey Reubens, could you all please just burn the cheese a little bit for me? Because that's how I like it. And that's probably how you should like it, too.
Well, you can, you do you. That's the whole thing with these pie irons, right? All right. Everybody makes their own. They leave off the stuff. Like, for instance, you can leave off the sauerkraut. Like our kids, if you don't like the sauerkraut, it's nice. It's flexible.
Oh my gosh. A turkey Reuben without the sauerkraut is just a turkey sandwich.
And even that might be too flavorful for Wesley. All right. So number four, tasty tacos. This is fun. So all you have to do is take two tortillas and then you put your taco beef, rice, black beans, grated cheese, and salsa. Give it that salsa in there for a little bit of that wetness and then roast it. Now, listen, the thing that's great about this is can be used for leftovers from your weekly meal. So celebrate Taco Tuesday in your house, just like we do on Tuesdays, and then save that leftover taco, like meat, beans, and rice, bring it to the campground, right? Double the recipe and then bring it and make your pie irons on Friday. That's winning at the campground, in my opinion. Leftovers. I love leftovers.
Big win. Big win. Let's talk about dessert for dinner. Now, you have not done this as much as the sandwiches.
No, because...
but you have done it, and it is a treat, and we want to do it again.
Well, the problem is that every time... Okay, back up. My kids love Nutella. And I do not necessarily love Nutella.
Wesley was sponsored by Nutella for a while.
I think he was trying to get a sponsorship from them.
They dropped him, though, because he just smeared it on his face.
So this is what happened repeatedly over the course of a few years. I would be like, nice mom, when I was in the grocery store, and I'd be like, oh, get the Nutella. They love the Nutella. They love it. Oh, nice treat at the campground. I'll make them Nutella sandwiches. I'd get the Nutella. Then the entire weekend, I'd find my kids with, like, spoons in their hands and Nutella all over their face, and they'd just be, like, stuffing Nutella in their face. Like, they're just crazed Nutella eaters when I have it in the camper. So then I'd be like, oh, I'm never buying Nutella again. You guys can't, you know, be responsible with Nutella. You're always sneaking it. And it just went south. So I and actually...
I didn't argue. Normally I would like defend the boys over things like chocolate chip cookies and ice cream. I'm not a big Nutella fan, so I kind of like let that one go.
Wow.
Like, boys, you're on your own.
So I don't buy it as much anymore because honestly, they're not responsible Nutella eaters, but it is really yummy to eat this. Okay, so dessert for dinner. Here you go. Take waffles, frozen waffles out of the freezer, right? And we use the whole wheat ones from Aldi. Super good deal on those ones, right? Take those whole wheat waffles from Aldi.
They're practically giving those waffles away.
Like throwing them at
you. Aldi prices make no sense.
Waffles for everyone. Just take the waffles and run, okay? Put the Nutella in it. And then you can also put strawberries or raspberries. Yummy. Our boys are big raspberry fans more so than strawberries in there. And put it over the fire for a few minutes on either side. And that is super yummy, delish. People love it. But like, honestly, my kids just can't stop themselves. So we don't have it as much. But if you have kids with good self-control that can take something like that and not like stuff their face with Nutella all weekend, go for it.
By the way, the pie irons work great at home in the winter too, over the stove. I mean, if you just want to do something different and get a little bit of that camping feel. I mean, who says you have to use them at the campground?
I think that's actually how they originally developed. I think people just use them over gas stoves. I don't know that it was originally a campground thing.
They were like developed by cavemen.
I think it was like the 50s.
Exactly. Cavemen. Yeah, the 1950s. The 50s.
So anyway, those are five. I think that those are like the basics, right? And if you have those in your wheelhouse, you'll always be happy, right?
You'll also always be happy if you know how to make a really great cup of coffee at the campground. And I drink copious amounts of coffee. I think a lot about making coffee. I've tried all the different ways to make coffee. And we're going to come back in a second.
You post about giving coffee away to people at the campground.
I do
and
social media posts
you.
About coffee. I did. I walked around and gave people coffee.
People we knew. And everybody in the Facebook group was like, oh, weirdo.
I didn't say, should I? That was one person out of about 200. And
Jeremy
I didn't say, should
coffee.
I walk around to complete strangers, particularly women with young children, and ask for give them coffee?
Yeah,
I said
don't
no.
Don't do that. So Jeremy does love to make coffee for the friends that we camp with. That's sort of part of his thing. If we're camping with friends, sometimes even I think they come over and they knock on the door with their mug
in the
morning.
Oh, they come sniffing around for coffee.
Yeah, Joe like waits outside nice and patient.
Joe wants his coffee. I sent him a text. I sent him his little love text and he comes over for coffee. So I'm going to tell you two methods that I don't approve of and tell you four methods that I do approve of and still give you the pros and cons for each of the four methods that I do approve of. And we'll share some gear along the way that we use to make coffee. So stay.
Sounds complicated, but stay tuned.
I'm going to keep it simple. Stay tuned. Welcome back to the show, everybody. It is time for our big camp coffee segment, and we have not done a camp coffee segment in over 3 years, so I'm excited to tackle the issue again. But before we dive in, we have a sponsored message from our friends at Jayco.
All right, from rugged and rustic to comfy and cozy, the agile and reliable 2018 J-Sport camping trailer makes getting away your way a breeze. And we have a particular affinity and a soft spot for that J-Sport camping trailer. We think pop-ups are an awesome way for you to enter into the camping lifestyle. We did it. We may have upgraded to a travel trailer pretty quickly like so many people do, but there's nothing like starting with a pop-up camper, and your family and your kids will always remember those pop-up memories.
This is what happens. People buy a pop-up camper. They can't wait to get rid of it. They get rid of it,
and then
they miss it for the next 20 years.
Yeah. Visit your local Jayco dealer or jayco.com for more information. Jayco, generations of family fun.
All right. Let's talk camp coffee. And I want to get this out of the way first. My single biggest tip for you to make a better cup of coffee at home or the campground is this. You need to grind the beans freshly in the morning, right before you make the coffee. There's a million tips out there for how to make a fancy, delicious cup of coffee. This is the only tip that really matters, people. Okay, grind the beans freshly in the morning. And the taste difference will be incredible. For those of you who have just been using ground coffee your whole lives, go out and buy a grinder, grind the beans fresh in the morning, and it's going to jack up that taste.
If you have sensory issues, it's okay to grind them the night before. If you just cannot
handle... A coffee snob would say no.
I know, but I'm saying that for those of you who, like me, may be sensitive to the awful noise of a grinder in the morning, it's okay. It's okay. Grind them at night before you go to bed.
Now, there are, generally speaking, two types of grinders. One that's expensive and one that's cheap. And of course, the one that's expensive is the coffee snob approved one, and that's a burr grinder. And we recommend the Encore burr grinder. It's $139. And I know that some of you might be like, that ain't gonna happen. But mine's lasted for 5 years now, and every single cup of coffee I have is better because of it.
Well, you have two. You have one in the house and one in the camper, and both of those were probably birthday or Father's Day presents.
And they've lasted and lasted and lasted with very little upkeep and maintenance. Now, if that price tag does not work for you,
doesn't work for me. It stressed me out every time. That's why it's a good gift, it's a gift price tag. Yeah.
For all our listeners, I understand. I'm going to try and offer things at a higher price and a lower price because everybody's just different with the amount of money they want to spend. But if you don't want to spend that on a burr grinder, you should still go and get a blade grinder. All right. I would recommend the Krupps blade grinder for $15.96 on Amazon. Now, a real coffee snob would say, oh, a blade grinder's awful, blah, 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 blah. I don't care what a real coffee snob says. It still elevates the taste of your coffee just by the fact that you're grinding the beans. I gave my brother that Krupps blade grinder that cost less than $20 for his birthday 1 year.
He's still using it.
Called me the next day, yeah. And he's like, oh my God, I can't believe how much better my coffee is. So, of course, a burr grinder is going to be even better for you because of the way it grinds the beans. It releases more flavor. I don't know all the science behind it. But if you don't want to pay that, just go get that $16 Krupps blade grinder and your coffee is going to be better. All right, now that that's out of the way, let's talk 6 methods for making coffee at the campground. Now, I don't want to offend anybody, but there are 2 methods I have tried that I personally do not like and I will not do again. And if you're just thinking about how you want to make coffee in your RV, I cannot recommend these 2 methods. And if I offend you...
I want to see if you're going to tell the story about one of these the correct way.
I remember.
Okay.
If I offend you, I apologize. I'm not trying to be hoity. I'm just saying, look, I tried these. They didn't work. I bought the AeroPress, or Stephanie bought the AeroPress, I think when we got the pop-up camper, and the idea was that it was a space saver because it's pretty compact. The AeroPress and Jeremy did not get along.
It's also non-electric.
It's non-electric, so
right.
That's good
okay.
For
so
your dry camping.
So we were more in a non-electric phase at that point. I was more of a rustic camper when we first bought the pop-up because I'd only had 10 camping experience.
The AeroPress is all fancy and European in a sense. I don't think of it as being rustic, but
I get your
point.
No. It was non-electric and it was small, spacey.
I am
so
not
the two
saying
things
it's
together,
not a great
yeah.
product. I know there are people out there that have mastered their AeroPress and make delicious coffee using an AeroPress.
We both agreed it was a non-starter.
Could not get a good cup of coffee out of that thing. It takes too long. If you're the Zen master of the AeroPress, send me an email. Let me know. Okay. But I personally don't recommend the AeroPress.
Yeah. It didn't work for us. We tried it. We were like, okay, I was sitting there watching you go through the whole process and then coming up with a cup of coffee. And then we wanted another cup.
The taste was always weak. I could never get a strong cup of coffee.
Yeah. So the AeroPress didn't work. Now let's move on to the Keurig. And I want to hear your story about that.
The Keurig, whatever you call it. When I didn't start drinking coffee till I was 34, and I was grading essays at the AP reading. Once a year, I go to the AP reading and I grade thousands of AP timed essays from students all over the country. If that sounds boring, it's because it is. And it's a fun, overall the week is fun, but the actual grading of thousands of essays, you get a little sleepy at 3:00. And so I literally started drinking coffee to stay awake. And by the end of the week, I was addicted to coffee. So being a total novice, I went home.
But I wasn't a novice. I had been drinking coffee every day of my life since I started working at a gas station when I was 14
years old. Yeah, and you'd been basically drinking gas station coffee for 20 years.
No,
yeah,
I was
you never refined the experience.
I was perfectly happy with my drip coffee that I made every morning with my organic free trade Trader Joe's
those big buckets of Trader Joe's coffee that cost like $1.99.
Yeah, and I was happy for years. I would say 10 years of our marriage, I bought that Trader Joe's coffee and I made it in my drip
coffee.
Are
you happier now that your husband makes awesome coffee?
I'm not happy.
So anyway, for whatever reason, I actually think I had a Costco gift certificate.
You did. You came home from Costco.
I bought the Keurig.
I was so mad at you. I was like, I hate Keurig coffee.
I used it for a couple months. And I was also going to a lot of coffee shops and drinking a lot of coffee at nice local coffee shops. And I have to say, I just felt like no matter which pods I bought, it was never a really good cup of coffee.
Because I said to you the day you brought that into the house, I said, I like my coffee stronger and more flavorful than you can make in that Keurig. I said, bring it out of the house.
Make me a great cup of Keurig coffee. I challenge you, dear listener out there.
Acceptable.
I just don't think a truly great cup of Keurig coffee exists. Now, I'm going to run the risk of sounding judgy here, but this is my personal feeling and my personal experience. I'm not judging you for it because I can be wasteful in other ways in this life. I find throwing away the pods to be really, really, like, environmentally bad.
Well, it is. And some people get the refillable ones, et cetera.
You can solve that problem quickly by getting like the little filter that's reusable. Right. So you can take that off the table. So my primary reason is just that I just don't think it makes great coffee.
But we both drink our coffee black. And so I think that we are much more sensitive to that real true flavor profile of the coffee. Plenty of people out there put their cream and their sugar in it and everything. And it's not really like for us, we want this strong, really rich and robust cup of coffee. And not everybody wants that. Some people love a nice kind of light Keurig cup of coffee. But it's not for us.
People love it, and that's fine. Now, let's get into the four RVFTA approved ways of making coffee that we would recommend to you if you just got your RV and you're trying to figure out, you know, how should I make coffee when I go camping?
And we've done them all over the years.
We've done them all. And I mean, I still occasionally go back and do them just to like kind of stay fresh with each one. Now, I arranged these from what I think of as the worst cup of coffee to the best cup of coffee. All right. Let's start with the percolator. All right, so let's give the pros and cons for each of these. First, we're going to talk the percolator. Out of the four recommended methods, I think this one's the weakest in terms of like the quality of the coffee. But let's go pros
first. But it smells good. And
let's talk about the pros of the percolator. It's fun to make coffee over an open fire. Just like we discovered again over this past weekend, cooking with that Lodge Cook-It-All that we're going to talk about soon. There's just something romantic and fun about getting outside, lighting the fire, and perking over the fire. All right, now the flip side of that is that it can take a really long time to get the fire right and get the fire hot enough. So there's a pro and a con.
Yeah, thank goodness you had that percolator when in Superstorm Sandy, we didn't have power.
It was perking like a madman.
For 2 weeks, and you were making coffee for the entire neighborhood.
Perking for the whole neighborhood.
Percolator all day long.
The second pro. Percolators are really cool-looking vintage camping gear. And for some of you, let's be honest, that's enough. A percolator looks cool. It has this vintage vibe to it.
They're beautiful. A lot of them are really nice-looking. You could leave that out on your stove and feel like it's an accessory.
And plenty of people actually do that. If you think of people in the vintage trailer craze, you know they're going to have a percolator sitting out there. But is it because it's practical and makes good coffee, or is it just because of the romance of it? The other pro to percolators, and you mentioned it already, you don't need electricity to perk. So if you're tenting or if you're camping in an RV without power, you're good to go with a percolator. You can still rock that thing out at the campfire.
And that's when you really broke out that Cabela's percolator that we had. We went tent camping a few years ago and we started to do more of that. Yeah, like
if you got your little Coleman, you don't have to do the over the fire thing, right? Mm-hmm. If you have your little Coleman stove or whatever, you can put the percolator right over the burner and you'll be good to go. And actually, I think percolators make better coffee when they're over a burner because you're controlling the temperature more.
Steady temperature, yeah.
The other pro of percolator coffee, I actually really like making cowboy coffee. It's kind of fun, and I think cowboy coffee actually tastes better than using the traditional percolator method where you put it in that filter up top. So cowboy coffee, you throw the grounds directly into the water. You heat it all up all at once. And then when it's done, and I think you got to stir it along the way or stir it beforehand, whatever. Just
stir it beforehand and then you let it go. Yeah.
Then the cool thing is, if you put in a splash of cold water right before pouring, it makes the ground sink to the bottom, and then you can pour a pretty clean cup of coffee, cowboy method. Everyone thinks, oh, that's so gross, all the grounds are in there. That's not actually true if you throw in that splash of cold water.
Yeah, and in cowboy coffee, again, it connects you to feeling like you're... I think a lot of this is when you feel like you are separate from your life at home. There is something very valuable about removing yourself from that daily routine, slowing down and doing things differently. And a percolator is nothing if not slowing down. It does. It slows down your coffee routine
Stephanie,
in the morning.
That's such a great point. We were camping this last weekend with friends, and they had a bunch of friends with them. Some were in tents, some were in RVs, and they had their Dutch ovens. They were camp cooking. They had the campfire going from morning till night. I walked over there in the morning with my pot of coffee to share with everybody, and they were perking away. You know, and it was part of that escape. All right, now let's talk the cons of using a percolator. And again, I run the risk of offending some of you. A coffee snob would say that a percolator makes the worst possible coffee, because it can get too hot, and it over extracts the grounds and makes a really bitter taste. And I think that that's true. I mean, there's science at work here.
There
but some
is
people
science.
Like that
and,
taste,
you know,
and
if you
okay.
like Alton Brown, that method of talking about food and beverage, then you'll appreciate the fact that the people that have gone to great lengths to sort of like, you know, make this into a precious pastime, this making of coffee, the key is the temperature. It's creating that, what is the perfect temperature to extract? And the most expensive coffee makers are the ones that maintain that perfect temperature. So this is literally the opposite of
and
that.
And we'll get into
this
that.
Is like boil the living daylights out of
right.
your coffee.
Right. So sometimes like you put in like a ton of water into the percolator and then when you pull it off the fire, like there's no water left.
Yeah,
in
you're
there.
Just
it's
like
all
yeah, it's a Hail Mary. It's a fingers yeah. crossed, let's do this thing. You know, so that like, you just have to embrace that and know it's about the whole experience. And the reason why the taste might be okay for some people, even though we're saying, oh, it's not the best coffee taste, is because we're really Pavlov's dogs at the end of the day. If we connect a certain taste to a relaxing experience, it tastes wonderful to us. So if that taste of that, like, you know, sludge coffee, if that connects
some
us to a relaxing
to being young
camping.
Or to the way you camped as a kid with your dad or something like
then
that.
Then you're going to love it every yeah. time. And you know what? That's how you should make your coffee at the campground, if
yeah.
that's
now,
where you're
now,
at.
If you think you want to do the percolator, and by the way, I keep one in our toy hauler. I mean, it's in there all year round. If you want to get a percolator, my really big recommendation for you is not to get a big percolator. Like, I bought a really big one with the idea that I could make a lot of coffee for a lot of people. The thing can take 45 minutes to make the coffee. Go with a smaller percolator, even if that means making several rounds. Now, we recommend the Cabela's line of percolators. They make them in a variety of sizes. They're all good. And every product we mention here is in our show notes with links for you to purchase them if you would like to. Okay, so what's next?
All right, so now let's move on to the drip coffee. So like we said, we had four kind of from our least favorite to our most favorite
in terms of taste.
Right. So the second one is actually the one that we use on a regular basis when we're camping, and it is the traditional drip coffee machine.
Yeah, so there's the irony for you, right? I am saying that there are two methods that are better than this for making great coffee, but those aren't the ones we use. So we use a drip coffee machine. There are a lot of benefits and a lot of pros to getting a drip coffee machine. So let me walk you through some pros and cons, and then I'll recommend two coffee machines at two price points. Drip coffee machine's easy to use. It's easy to use. I mean, it's that simple. If you want your coffee quick and efficient, like you wake up and you want your coffee, you just want a coffee machine that you can plug in and use very quickly. I also love that a drip coffee machine can make really large pots of coffee, where some of these other methods we're talking about, it's hard to produce a lot of coffee fast. Stephanie, I mean, I drink a lot of coffee in the morning and I like to share it with friends. So I want that big, you know, 12 cup thing of coffee going. They're also really easy to clean up, definitely easier to clean up than the next two methods we're going to talk about, because it's the grounds are in a filter and you can just kind of chuck the filter when you're done, piece of cake. I also like the fact that among drip coffee machines, there are a wide variety of price points. You can buy a decent basic one for $30 to $40, or you could buy an elite $200 coffee machine. You have lots of options, where to me, you know, a French press is a French press is a French press. A percolator is a percolator is a percolator. There's no $200 percolator out there that produces some amazing cup of coffee that a $20 percolator cannot make. So those are a bunch of my pros, all right? Now, Stephanie, should we talk cons of the drip coffee machine? Because there's not many, but I think there's a few worth mentioning.
Yeah, let's go.
They take up a lot of counter space in an RV. Some of the other methods we're talking about are a little bit easier to store, and they're a little bit smaller. And like I said, a drip coffee machine can make a lot of coffee. Well, that means that sometimes it's kind of big. Now, also with the drip coffee machine, you can spend a lot, as I just mentioned, where with
your drip coffee machine. Again, we have a coffee machine set up outside in our camper that is literally the mirror image of our coffee machine set up in our house.
And I'll
That's
give that
happened
in a second.
Over the yeah. years. We didn't do that right away because these things are expensive. But Jeremy has an elite drip coffee maker, and eventually, for again one of his gifts, he got a second one so that he didn't have to carry the one from the house out to the camper when we went on trips. So
it's a little overboard, I know, but that's my point, is that if you're going to look at drip coffee makers, all of a sudden you could be maybe overspending. Where if you just decide you want a French press, a pour over, or a percolator, it's all very reasonable.
I love that. I love the fact that those other ones you just can buy for $15, and it's just like the everyman's. Like, it's so accessible.
I agree. Now, another con of the drip coffee machine, most of them do not heat up the water hot enough to that exact temperature where a coffee snob would tell you the coffee tastes the best. And I forget exactly what that temperature is, 196 to 200 degrees or something. But the kind of El Cheapo $20 to $30 coffee makers just don't get hot enough to maximize the flavor of your coffee. And that's a common problem with them. You kind of have to buy the upscale one to get past that. Also, with the drip coffee maker, you have to keep buying filters. And granted, filters are cheap, but if you're talking about a percolator, you don't need to keep buying filters, okay? So those are the pros and cons for drip. Now, I want to recommend two drip coffee makers. The one we have.
A cheap one and then the one we have.
No, I got a cheap one for you and I got an expensive one for you. And actually, Stephanie, you're going to be shocked here. We have the Bonavita. And when we bought the Bonavita, or when you bought it for me as a gift, it was around $200. It was like $170 to $200. Yeah. Stephanie, guess how much it is right now on Amazon? The one we have.
Cheaper, I guess?
$96.
Oh, my
because
gosh.
Because they can. Okay, I'm not an elitist. You know, I live on a teacher's salary.
Wow.
But I'm saying it's half the price of what we paid because they just put out a new model. So there's still lots of the old model, which is the one I have, which everybody loves and raves about, for $96. Now, if you're not that type of person who would ever spend $100 on a coffee machine.
But the one we've had for how many years? I mean, we've had
I'm
that Bonavita.
You, it's a tank.
I got that for you when we lived in the last house
it's
that we
tank.
Lived in. So we've
so
had
it's
it.
8 years.
Yeah.
8 years.
So to be honest, at least let's throw that in. It has lasted.
You buy a $30 coffee maker, you might be buying a new one in 2 or 3 years.
Yeah, I bought a
Absolutely.
Lot of $30 coffee
the
Bonavita,
makers. The Bonavita, going on 8 years. Now, I do have a recommendation for about $40. The Hamilton Beach 12-cup coffee maker. And I got that recommendation off a great website called The Wire Cutter that does all kinds of reviews. I bought that one for work. Because I have a teaching job where I can leave the building, which so many teachers aren't allowed to do. I'm thankful I can do that. I found myself going out for coffee a lot during my periods off in the afternoon. This year, I decided to save money and to be more efficient with my time. And I actually set up a coffee maker at work in the kind of the little break room. This Hamilton Beach so far, I'm really impressed with this coffee maker for $40. I've only owned it for a month. I don't know how long it'll last and how well it's built, but so far, so good.
All right. So that's your high and your low for the drip coffee machines. Let's go on to the French press. Now, we used the French press exclusively for a while in the camper. Actually, we did that. We got tired, I think, of bringing the Bonavita into the camper for our quick trips, which we were doing because we didn't have one dedicated for the camper.
And you used to do French press like in college a lot.
Oh, I used to do French press.
You were a French press girl.
All the time before you were a coffee drinker.
I had this period where I did not want to bring our Bonavita out into the Jayco Whitehawk And instead I was like, well, let me just buy a French press for $20 and try that. And honestly, Stephanie, I was like 2 or 3 years we French pressed.
Oh no, because most of the time when we were in the White Hawk, I feel like we used the French press a lot of the time that we owned the White Hawk. That's what I remember.
And, until I got the second ridiculous right, overboard Bonavita.
Right. At some point I got you that as a gift and we replaced it. But, you know, a French press is, I still think that we love the coffee from the French press.
And so it just makes
a great cup of coffee.
I agree completely. But I put that as a pro and a con. It's a pro if you like that unique, distinct French press taste. I think, and I think you agree, that a cup of French press coffee is very rich and thick and flavorful.
But some people think it's oily. Like
they
some
think
people,
it's oily. Yeah. Exactly. Mm-hmm. So you just got to try it and go like, do I like
do
this
I
taste
like
or,
that
not?
Or not?
And if you don't like the taste, don't think if you get a different brand of French press, it's going to be different.
No, that's the
what
nature
French press, yeah.
of French press.
That's
absolutely.
What it tastes like. Mm-hmm. Okay. So other pros, they're compact and easy to store. They're very inexpensive. You can get a really good French press for like around $20 or
so. Oh, the biggest one too. And we had the large one.
We had the largest one.
Which was great when we were both drinking coffee. I had a small one prior to you drinking it. And it was enough for both of us to get, I drink a cup and a half. And you probably drink
10, not 9, 10.
I don't know. But we could both, you know, have our cups of coffee out of that large one.
Totally.
So.
And like you said, you can buy the biggest one and it doesn't cost that much more. The other pro, you don't need to buy filters again and again. It's just a really simple piece of equipment.
Yeah, no electricity. You don't have that as a pro.
Exactly.
You don't need the electricity. That's awesome.
Exactly. But we know we use like the Cuisinart water, hot water heater. I mean, if you don't have electricity,
now,
you gotta go like boil water
like,
over the campfire or on your Coleman stove or something like that.
Or on your gas stove. Right.
True.
You can
True.
Be on your gas, on your propane stove and use that in the camper. So if you're just not hooked into electricity, you can use this easily in your camper.
Now, I do think there are some serious cons with the French press, and that's why we stopped using it. We broke a few of them. Like the plunger, well, because I broke them. The plunger.
I'm not remembering that.
The plungers can get damaged. If you push them too hard, they can, you know, they can either snap or bend in a way that they don't work very well. The glass shattered on one of them.
I did not. I have no memory.
I did
of
all
that.
Of that. I just told you I broke all of that.
I don't even remember.
The ultimate reason, though, why we gave up the French press is I just found it a little too hard to clean up compared to just dumping a coffee filter.
Mother,
I never systematized it in such a way.
You make a mess out of the coffee station every day
even
of
with
our lives.
Even with the filters, I do.
Right.
So.
And I just have to go when I have to get the filter and I have to dump it in the trash and wipe a little down and push it back on the counter and put the filter upside down, you know, on the thing. Okay. The French press, you'd leave that disaster and I'd be sitting there. Here I am scraping it out. I really...
Oh, come on. I scraped it out and cleaned it up. I just made a mess doing it.
Maybe you'd do it later in the day. I hate that mess left behind by the French press. It really is, for me, a big con.
It's why we stopped. Now, I still have more cons here, actually. Even though I do love French press, the coffee doesn't stay hot long.
You have to put it into yet another vessel.
I mean, I would have to put it in like my Stanley thermos, and that's an addition.
No, we have our new Cabela's hot things, and a lot of time we just put the hot coffee
Then you can't just put it in a coffee mug and leave it in the French press and come back in 10 minutes and get a hot cup of coffee. This is a good con, I think.
Come on,
give me some credit here. If you want to get a French press and they make delicious coffee, we recommend the Bodum, and we'll link to that in our show notes if you want to grab one for your camper. Now let's talk pour over. And this is my fourth recommended method. This makes the best cup of coffee. So out of these four things, a percolator doesn't make a particularly great cup of coffee to me, but they're really fun. So I recommend them.
And it's the cheapest. It's simply the cheapest way to make a cup of coffee out there, this pour over.
The pour over? Pretty simple, pretty straightforward.
Oh, come on. You buy that, the pour over.
$10, $12 for the little pour over setup.
That's all.
Totally true.
It's so cheap and it makes the best cup of coffee.
Hands down, and if you talk to any serious coffee person, if you want the absolute best tasting cup of coffee, it's a pour over. A drip machine, even my Bonavita that's $200, can't beat a good pour over cup of coffee. So if you care primarily about taste, get a pour over set up, and it's really, really super cheap.
And it's so perfect for the RV, because when you get that pour over top. You know, you can just sit that right on your mug. You know, you have your camp casual mug, whatever it is in your camper. You just set it right over there. You have a kettle and you heat up the water and you sit there and you do your pour over. It's really elegant.
Small and easy to store.
Exactly.
It's elegant. And that is my last pro. It's a little bit more hands-on, a little bit more tactile, a little bit more of that romance of making coffee. And look, you know if you're that type of person or not. If you want to hit the button in the morning and the grounds are already there from the night before, well, then don't get a pour over. But if you're that person that likes that more luxurious experience, go for the pour over.
And then that's not me. Like, I want to hit a button, and if I'm in a coffee shop, they can make me a pour over. Like, when I'm at our local coffee shop.
You hate waiting for a pour over, though.
No. At DV Tree, I'll wait for a pour over.
At our local place, you will.
But when you go to Blue Bottle in the city, and they sit there, and they, like, swoosh their hands, and they...
It's like 10 minutes.
God, it's like, give me a break.
To make a cup of coffee.
They're doing this little circus act.
The line is down the block, and meanwhile, it takes 10 minutes.
Oh, and they have these little swishes, and they have these little, like, wrist twitches, and gosh, it makes me crazy.
Agree. There are some cons to the pour over. It's harder and it takes longer to make a lot of coffee. If you want more than one cup of coffee, you got to keep going back and making it. Or if you're going
to
make it.
Or you have to have more than one pour over thing and have your little line.
It just gets more complicated. I think it's also a bit harder to dial in your method in terms of getting the proportions right of the coffee to the water. There's a little more thinking through it, where a drip machine is going to do a lot of that work for you and have everything labeled on the side in terms of one cup, two cups, three cups, all of that. Again, pour over is not going to stay hot. You pour it into the cup, and if you want your coffee to stay hot for a long time, you've got to put it into a thermos or something else. But all of that being said, pour over by far is the best of our recommended methods.
And
percolator is the worst.
And the least expensive. How about
and
that?
The least expensive. And I would say drip and French press are somewhere right in the middle there for me. But all of these are great ways to make coffee at the campground. And for the pour over, we recommend the Bonavita, and we'll link to that in the show notes as well.
All right. And if you want to post your camp coffee setup picks in the RVFTA Facebook group, that would be fun.
If I've offended you about the Keurig or about any of these things,
it's not about offending. It's about an opinion. And we have a podcast, so we share opinions about things. That's par for the course.
And we're from New Jersey, so we have
opinions.
There's
plenty of people out there with Keurigs, and they're happy with them. We're not. We don't really think it gives us that great robust cup of coffee, but not everybody likes that. Some people love a weaker cup of coffee.
I'm going to start where I finished, though. If you want a better cup of coffee, people, grind the beans freshly in the morning. Okay, got it.
And if you want a better drink than just a simple cup of coffee, you're gonna have to stay tuned for the next episode.
Ooh,
segment.
Stay tuned. It does deserve its own episode, but it's just a segment.
I got a segment. Stay tuned.
Welcome back to the show, everybody. It is time for segment three. Stephanie's going to talk about other warm drinks and spirits besides coffee. And these drinks are not for the kids. These are for the adults to enjoy after you put the kids to bed. And this section...
Can I say, though, that you could make mocktails out of any of these? Our kids learned the term mocktails when we were at Massey's Landing. A few years ago.
Yeah, then
ago
they
for
came
the
back the next summer
time.
And we were asking for mocktails, and like they didn't know what we were talking about.
No, they know. Everybody knows what mocktails are. The kids learned mocktails because they learned that they could have these pineapple fruity
but
drinks.
They wanted
you could do
one
the
particular
thing.
Mocktail that the bartender the summer before made for them. We're starting to sound like bad parents. Let's move on. This section is sponsored by our friends at Camp Casual.
All right. So our friends at Camp Casual loved seeing all your posts this past summer, and they are excited to share their vintage camping and RV inspired dishware with you and your family. So to kick off the fall season of RVFTA, they are offering you 25% off of their entire site to RVFTA listeners. That's with code RVFTA25. That's all caps 25. Right now, people have already taken advantage of this code, and we've been seeing the posts in our Facebook group. Somebody got cozy with that blanket and a mug in front of a fire. It was such a great picture. Love it. There's nothing cozier than there really isn't anything cozier than a Camp Casual blanket. So
yeah, there is a Camp Casual blanket that was 25% off.
Yeah, our kids love these things. I think I'm going to stock up while we have this code, using the code ourselves, so I can actually.
Give me that sequoia. I want another sequoia.
We have a sequoia, and Max has now stolen it for his home bed, and I'm not happy about that.
They want a sequoia.
Sneak Camp Casual blankets.
I want a sequoia, and I'll make you a hot toddy, okay?
You don't have it.
I have no idea.
Please, you have no idea.
Stephanie, you are large and in charge of this segment. Okay. I don't, and just, you know what, for our listeners. And
yeah, go maybe, ahead, share.
Well, maybe you don't know this. I don't drink. I never have a very.
But you're allergic.
I'm allergic to sulfites. Yeah. So that kind of.
So every once in a while, when you've had a sip under pressure, like somebody's like, oh, try this. And you're like, sure. Because you want it. Like, oh, I want to try that or a beer or something. You get red and puffy and people start to go, are you okay? And everybody kind of panics. It's a bad situation.
Yeah. And I've had this for my entire life. And it kind of kept me away from drinking, thank goodness, which is probably a good thing.
Yeah.
It's been a problem for certain people in my family.
Nothing wrong with a sulfite allergy. So,
anyway, Stephanie married her designated driver. Yeah. And she drinks very responsibly and pretty rarely. But when you do, you like to have some of the fancy stuff.
Yeah, absolutely. Like, so I wanted to go through a few that I felt were fun and kind of unusual sort of hot, warm drinks, because Jeremy will make himself a cup of coffee in like the late afternoon, evening, and I will never drink coffee after 9 o'clock in the morning. I'm that person. I'm like rapidly approaching that middle age point where I'm like, oh my gosh, I'll be awake all night.
If you want coffee at 11 a.m. No. And you're like, nope.
No, because I will be awake. I don't do the caffeine after my morning cup. So here are my warm and toasty alternatives for any other time of the day other than that morning cup of coffee. I wanted to start out by talking about the hot toddy, not because it's exciting, but because people talk about hot toddies a lot, but actually a lot of people don't know what they are. And a lot of people have said to me,
people
will be like, well, what is a hot toddy? And for me, it truly is one of the best, most comforting, warm, hot drinks out there. And I think it might be because I'm not, I don't have a sweet palate. So I don't actually like really sweet stuff. And this isn't a super sweet warm drink, which sets it apart.
Or at least you can control the sweetness factor.
Yeah, you absolutely can. You can make it easy. So a hot toddy, the base of it, the cocktail part of it, or I should say the spirit part of it, is whiskey. All right. So you're going to do a shot of whiskey. You're going to do lemon juice, a squeeze of lemon juice, some honey, and hot water. Now, that's all. That's all it is. It's whiskey, lemon, honey, and hot water. And we use, of course, our kettle, our electric kettle that we always keep in our camper.
We have that Cuisinart kettle that again, I've had that for
10
a decade.
Years, it's been going. We
love that.
It's
starting
to
look a little funky inside, but it works.
We could probably do a little white vinegar wash on that and clean it up. But so the key though here for flavor is you can tinker with the amounts. So I tend to like a more kind of tangy hot toddy. So I have more lemon and less honey. But if you like it more sweet, you can put a little more honey into it. And it's just wonderful. It'll clear out your sinuses if you're feeling a little stuffed up. It'll just warm you up from your toes to your head.
I don't drink, and it sounds good to me on a cold day.
It's a staple.
By the way, don't you love cool fall days at the campground?
Yeah. So
life does not get better.
I don't want to sound like a boozer because I'm not. But when the weather turns cold, I like turn to whiskey or bourbon. Like that is my like, oh my gosh, it's going to warm me up. And this past weekend when we were camping with a bunch of friends, I don't keep that. I'm not one of those people that has like a bar in their house. And I actually went and I had.
There's often no alcohol in
right?
our house.
So I know we're like, we're going to explain this. No, but I actually went to the store and I got some nice bourbon before we went to the campground so I could share it with, you know, some people we were camping with. Just because of me, it rings that like warm, cozy campfire feel to it. So now,
the next one sounds like almost like a dessert.
Well,
so
yeah.
Your next one is the warm pumpkin spice rum cocktail. And again, like, see, here's the thing. I'm not a drinker, but these, like, if I was going to have a drink, some of these sound pretty good to me.
Yeah, we could make in the mocktail version of it. So this is pumpkin spice season, and people go crazy for everything pumpkin spice, but you don't see a lot of people applying that to, like, the warm cocktail area.
Remember at like the end of August when all the coffee shops started rolling out their pumpkin spice drinks and everybody like on Facebook went bonkers on everyone like enough with the pumpkin spice. It's still like 98 degrees out. Well, it's not 90 degrees anymore around here. It is officially fall.
Now you can have your pumpkin spice. Okay. And so here's a really nice warm drink version of this. Now I want to say the base of this is a dark rum. So if you're making one, you know, then you can just adjust up. You want a shot of dark rum. You want a shot of vanilla vodka. All right. Now you want a pinch of pumpkin spice mix. You want a pinch of cinnamon. Just throw your little pinch in there. Now here's the real kicker. There's
a pinch, not a shake.
Not a shake. It's a pinch. Okay. And that you will find that in actual recipes out there. Okay. So now there is a pumpkin spice coconut milk from So Delicious. All right. So you know those like cartons of coconut milk, whatever you can get. So Delicious makes a dairy-free one that is actually pumpkin spice coconut milk. So go ahead and then fill the rest of your mug up with this, you know, and heat it up. Or if you're making it over a little in a little saucepan, whisk them all together and just add that pumpkin spice coconut milk. Now, if you don't have the pumpkin spice coconut milk, you can just use regular coconut milk, a can of it, pour it in, and just add a little extra pumpkin spice, or you can even whisk in some pumpkin puree into it, and that'll taste just the same. But that's a nice little shortcut for the campground.
And all of these recipes are in the show notes,
of
right?
Course,
so
yeah.
If you're driving right now and you don't have to write everything down, just go to RVFTA.
Don't write and drive.
Don't write and drive. Just go to RVFTA.com later and check out the show notes and everything's there.
All right. Now, the next one is the hot s'mores cocktail. And I think that everybody who listens to this show for a while knows that I'm not a fan of s'mores.
You are really opposed to s'mores.
I won't eat one.
I have never seen you eat one.
No, I don't eat them. They're so sweet. They're so overwhelming. They're sticky. They're messy. It's not my thing, okay?
I have to say, I make s'mores for the boys.
That's
okay. I'll eat a s'more. They are disgustingly messy sometimes. Like, you go to bed and you realize that you're sticking to your sheets because you've got marshmallow on your arm that Wesley put there.
All right. So I saw this s'more cocktail from Bon Appetit and I was like, oh my gosh, I have to share this, right? Like,
who's been reading Bon Appetit?
Have you? Oh, brother. What podcast are you listening to?
I've been listening to The Splendid Table and Bon Appetit as I try to learn how to cook. And like 80% of it's gibberish to me. And then they'll say something like that I understand and I get really excited. I'm like, I'm going to do that.
You're like, voila. All right. So this is the reason why I actually really love this recipe from Bon Appetit. Because first you actually make your graham cracker liqueur. Okay. How do you do this? You take a whole liter of white rum. Right. And you put in the liter of white rum, a cinnamon stick, and a half a cup of honey. And then you let that sit for 4 days, shaking it once a day. Now, those of you that are Italian out there will know this whole like lemon set, like you know the whole thing about making homemade alcohol at home, right? This is a very Italian thing where you have like the bottles and you're shaking them at regular intervals leading up to the holidays.
Some of you may have had ancestors that then sold that during Prohibition.
Right. And then it's sold or given away.
Stephanie's married to somebody who's partially Italian. So we're not stereotyping
at
all.
It's just the reality of it. I get homemade liquor gifts from my friends around here in New Jersey every single year around the holidays. Love it. So I love the fact that you were making this and it actually sounded like a really good one. So then you're going to add a tablespoon of your graham cracker liquor that you made right at home, like a bootlegger. And then you're going to add a shot of brandy. You're going to fill up the mug with hot chocolate and then add some mini marshmallows on the top for a little
nice
touch.
So that's the most involved out of all of the drinks here.
But in a way, it's super easy because
it just takes a while.
Right.
That's
it's
all.
Just you have to plan ahead. You can't just go to the liquor
store. It was
like
putting together my char griller acorn Komodo cooker that you got me. It was easy, but it took a long time.
Yeah. Now, okay. So the next one that I wanted to add was mulled wine. Now, I actually think that mulled wine gets brushed aside as sort of this old fashioned thing, but it's actually really yummy and warming. And I'm going to say the last few years I've had mulled wine every year at the Truma booth in Louisville. So Truma does this German.
So European.
Right. They do this German festival thing at the end of the Louisville show every year.
And they just celebrate endless hot water.
And you go and everybody's there and you're seeing everybody that you know in the industry and everything, you're chatting, but you're doing it over. They pass out the spice, you know, mulled wine and cookies, their German cookies and everything. And it really is just lovely and wonderful and warm. And that kind of got me realizing, like, okay, mulled wine, I think, gets this bad rap as being like old-fashioned and icky. But the thing is sangria's been having a moment, and sangria is really just the summer version of mulled wine.
Sangria's been having a decade.
Yeah, like everybody's so into sangria. Well, mulled wine is just the sangria for the winter, and it really should have a comeback, and I want it to have a comeback.
Start it right now.
So I am starting it right now, okay? So mulled wine, the key is to not get a sweet red wine. Because if you start with a sweet red wine and then you add all the other stuff, it's going to be like cloying and overwhelming at the end. You want to start with a really dry, dry Cabernet. So go ahead and pick one of those up. You're going to take 4 cups of apple cider, a bottle of red wine, 1/4 cup of honey, 2 cinnamon sticks, an orange, and you're going to zest the orange and then juice the orange. Then you're going to put in 4 cloves, 4 cloves, and then you're going to like slice up an orange for garnish for the different cups when you serve it, if you want. If you're at the campground, nobody expects garnish here, fine. All you have to do is combine all of those ingredients into a saucepan, bring it to a boil, reduce, and just let it simmer for 10 minutes. It's actually really easy. And if you do it, say you want to do it on your stove at the camper and put it in a crock pot and sit it outside for like a tailgate party or just a cool day at the campground, I guarantee you that that crock pot will be empty of your mulled wine at the end of the, you know, your little cocktail party there.
Oh, 100%. Now, I think if you make the spiked peppermint hot chocolate as a mocktail, your boys will empty that thing real fast, too.
Well, and I have a... Really, you can make this as a mocktail very easily, and I'll say that. So the spiked peppermint hot chocolate, easiest one on this list. Any version of hot chocolate you prefer. You want to make a packet, you make yourself a packet. You want to do it a little fancier, go ahead and heat up milk and melt actual, you know, bittersweet chocolate in it. You want to make yourself a double boiler like I will on snow days for the kids and sit there and melt your chocolate and then combine it. You do you, whatever kind of hot chocolate you want. Then just add a shot of peppermint schnapps and a little whipped cream on the top. This is good. I drink this kind of hot chocolate, and you know me, I don't drink hot chocolate. But to make it a mocktail, just simply buy peppermint extract. And put.
I bought peppermint extract.
I saw that sitting on the counter.
Week.
I was like, "What? What for, is this from?"
Because I've been making homemade iced tea. I wanted to see what it would do to it.
Okay, so there's peppermint extract, but you can also use, if you are an oiler, like I am, I have oils, essential oils, like everywhere in my house. And I actually just use a drop of the essential oil for that for the kids.
The peppermint.
Yes, the peppermint. So you didn't have to buy that extract because we have peppermint oil.
And that's more potent
than the
extract.
It is more potent. Yeah. So it's really tricky because you really have to just use a drop for a bigger amount.
A shake would ruin it. If you just shook the thing.
If you shook it, that would definitely ruin it. But you could make that, and you could make the spiked version for the adults and the mocktail version for the kids, and everybody would be super happy.
And again, we've loved our Cuisinart electric kettle. It's a decade old. Your mom gave it to me for Christmas one year, and that thing just keeps working.
I think before the kids were born.
Before the kids were born. We'll link to that in the show notes. Now, one thing, like, this whole episode and our last week had such a lovely weekend camping last weekend. In the fall, when the temperatures get cool and when you're camping close to home, you know, you're not going to some place really, really far away to tour a national park. You know, I think a lot of people could just like center the whole experience around food and drink. You know, it's like you wake up in the morning, you do the big breakfast. In the afternoon, you make a light lunch. In the evening, you shift to making a meal over the campfire. You start the morning with coffee. You end the day with a spiked peppermint hot chocolate or whichever one of these drinks you prefer. It's such a part of the pleasure of camping in the fall is good food
and
good drink.
One flip side to it. For me, I feel like there's two different types of camping trips for us. We're either traveling or we are, you know, communing. So we're traveling to a place and we're really seeing the area and we're getting up and we're going every day and we would be eating out because we want to like experience those great restaurants. Or we're just getting away with friends and family and just really enjoying ourselves. And that's where that food and drink come in to me, definitely.
Love them both. Love both ways of traveling. But the second one sure is more relaxing.
Yes, we really did definitely take a deep breath last weekend when we do that. And it's always great to do that. Now, you take a deep breath and we will be right back with our RBFTA News Roundup.
Welcome back to the show, everybody, and thank you so much for listening to our big episode on hot drinks at the campground. It is now time for our RVFTA News Roundup, which is sponsored by our friends at Thetford.
Thetford is the industry expert and innovation leader, and they have made RV travel a more pleasant experience for over 50 years. Now, over the summer, we recorded a special episode of the podcast, which was completely devoted to keeping your RV tanks fresh and operating correctly. Paula, the mad scientist from Thetford, was willing to come on the show when we asked her and basically run through all the most common problems and questions and solutions for the tank issues that were out there.
It's like everything you need to know about taking care of your tanks. And for a mad scientist, she's like really nice. She's like right. The nicest mad scientist.
She combines the two things in a very nice package. So we just wanted to make sure you knew that, because if you missed it, summer's a busy time. You're off traveling. You're having fun in your camper. But definitely go back and listen, because we got so much, you know, so many messages and mail and posts about that episode from, you know, we made it a special episode because we were worried about devoting an entire podcast episode to tanks.
Didn't need to worry about that, because everybody really loved that episode.
Everybody was like, thank you so much. This really helped. I got so much information out of it. So if you didn't listen to that because you're like, tanks, go back, take a listen. Was helpful.
It might not seem like an exciting topic, but if you ever get the funky bad smells in your RV, man, you're going to regret that you didn't listen to this episode, because if you follow her advice, you're not going to get the funky bad smells coming out of your black tank.
Yeah. Now, we're also going to be doing a pop-up sticker magnet cling shop over in the RVFTA Facebook group in the next few weeks. So make sure you're in the Facebook group so that you see when I post that. That's just what we do. We don't have like product that's constantly for sale, but every once in a while, just to help manage that. We know people like that stuff and want those clings and magnets and stickers. So every once in a while, I'll post, and then you'll have like a week to order, and then I ship them all out in one day in an envelope, and it keeps it nice and simple and easy. We did one in, I think, like early summer, and I got tons of clings and stickers and magnets out there. So just stay tuned, because I'm going to do another one in the next couple of weeks if anybody wants stocking stuffers.
Huge announcement. Kate Dunbar, our correspondent, who's been doing food content for us for years, campground reviews for years. She's such a big part of the RVFTA podcast network. She was on a show called the RV Show USA this week. It's like a Facebook Live type of show. And she announced that she is publishing, in conjunction with RVFTA, a huge cookbook filled with all her favorite recipes for the campground, for home as well, but for the campground.
It is, and that's why I'm struggling, because we're right now, you know, the naming of this cookbook is very difficult for me, because we had a basic operating name. The more that I do this, the more that I realize that Kate has made us a cookbook for home and the campground. You know, and I just sit here and I'm turning that over this morning on my walk with Maggie, and I'm just turning it over my head, because Kate has just given us, and I'm gonna go ahead and say this right now. There's a volume one and a volume two. Well, good luck, people. Well, I'm gonna put all the cards on the table.
When she had a helicopter fly over our house and she dropped the hard drive
it's
down.
Amazing.
It was like, we were like, this is $2. This is not one
it's
buck.
So much. And so the thing is about this is that you could cook out of these cookbooks that we're making, both at home and at the campground, all the time. And no one would ever get bored, and no one would ever say, oh, I need something more exciting. Like, it's just a gift that she has. And I'm so glad she's sharing it with our audience. And I'm so glad to be involved in it, because it's really special and it's just beautiful. So I can't wait.
And I have to say too, as an amateur who's trying to learn to cook, Kate has a real aesthetic to her style and her cooking. Like, I would never call her cooking or her recipes simple in any way. They're accessible, though.
Accessible, yeah.
They're accessible. Like, you can make an excellent meal using her recipes, even if you're not an excellent cook.
And we're going to put you to the test on that, because you're going to start making these recipes.
I mess them up, I'll tell you. If they come out great, I'll tell you. But I am going to be diving into this, and I'm going to be learning to cook through this cookbook, and I challenge the rest of you to grab a copy of it, too. Now, to find out how to buy this, you got to stay tuned to our social media channels, to Kate's social media channels, Kate's Curious Kitchen, and also to this podcast.
Yeah,
we will tell you exactly how to get this book, and we're going to sell it at a really special price for a very short period of time, just for our podcast listeners. So you're going to want to stay tuned right here.
And we will see you at the campground with a warm beverage.
See you at the campground.